Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so excited for that, and I hope you all are as well. It's going to be a great summer of discovering God's truth in these movies that we watch all summer long, so we're really excited. And I'm excited to be wrapping up this series, week 8, Rebuild My Life. And my prayer has just been that you feel equipped to start rebuilding your life in a spiritual way, going forward into the new normal and what that looks like for you. So have you ever made a wonderful, wonderful list? Now, I shared last time how I love my list. I make lists just so I can cross things off the list and feel accomplished. So have you ever made a wonderful list or a mental note of what you are going to complete the next day? So, for example, laundry, right? You said it, you thought it, you said, okay, tomorrow is the day I am conquering that pile of laundry. Yeah. You said to the laundry basket, you are going to be washed, folded, and put away in one day. That's a miracle, right? And tomorrow comes, and you're still stepping over dirty laundry on the floor, right? Just me. All right, so maybe that's not you, but you're the person that gets a text and you respond to it, but mentally. You only respond to it mentally, and you're like, oh, but I meant to respond to that text message. I thought I responded to that text message. I'm really sorry. And then a few days go by, and then a week, and then you're avoiding that person because it's awkward, and you had the best intentions to do that. So the question is today, why don't our intentions, why don't our actions match our intentions? We have the best intentions. And why don't we comment that word intentions? And that's what we're going to be discovering this morning in the last chapter of Nehemiah, chapter 13. Maybe you had the intention to maybe apologize to someone. Maybe a coworker, a spouse, your child, a friend. But it seemed too daunting, so you didn't do it, but the intent was there. Or maybe you had this idea to do something really nice for somebody else, a family friend, make a dinner. You had the whole thing planned out, and then you didn't get around to it because something else came up, right? But you had the best intentions to do it. Or you proclaimed it on Facebook. This year, I'm going to work out every day, and I'm going to eat healthy. But then you're sneaking Oreos in the back pantry when your kids aren't looking. So that's me. But, you know, you promised God you would read your Bible every single morning. But then you have a couple late nights with friends, and you can't wake up early. But you had really good intentions to do so. Why do our actions not reflect our intentions? They're good intentions. And today I want to turn to the book of Nehemiah so we can discover why it can be so difficult for our actions to match our intentions in our spiritual walks. Why are promises broken? Why are our goals not achieved? Why do we let ourselves, others, and God down? Well, the Israelites, they had good intentions too. And we're going to just recap really quick. God helped them overcome so much. They built a wall in 52 days. It's an impossible task, completely unheard of. They had haters saying, you can't do this. We learned that a few weeks ago. There were challenges and resistance all around them, yet God provided for them. And they followed Nehemiah as Nehemiah followed God. And they celebrated for all that God did. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6, it says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people. They lifted their hands. They responded, amen, amen. And then they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They studied the law. They celebrated. They reflected on all God did, all God provided for them and their ancestors. They confessed and recognized that of God's greatness and how Nehemiah led them on all of chapter 9 of Nehemiah. This is what they do. And then they respond by making an oath, which is simply just the promise to God. They said, God, we're making this oath, this promise to you. We are going to follow you with everything we have. They say in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38, the people responded, in view of all he did, we are making a solemn promise and putting it in writing. On this sealed document are the names of our leaders and Levites and priests. And they go on and they list every leader, every person, including the priests, the gatekeepers, the singers, the servants, every position promised to remain separate from the pagan people. And this was their oath and their promise to God. And just a quick history break, in case you don't know, during this time in Israel's history, and really always, God has called them to be set apart from other people. And the Israelites were his chosen people. And they weren't to mingle or be with other people that didn't worship him, that worshiped other gods, that maybe worshiped evil. So as a people group, they had continuously broken this commitment to God. And you can just read in all of the Old Testament, over and over and over, there's this cycle of sinning, confessing their sin, asking God to forgive them, celebrating him, making that covenant, and then falling into that compromise again. So as we read through the Old Testament, we see this. And God does. He forgives them, and he bestows such mercy on them. So here we are, after all that the Israelites saw God do, the impossible task of rebuilding a wall, all the hard work, the obedience. It wasn't easy. It wasn't just something that they would just be like, oh yeah, this is no big deal. No, this was hard work. And being led by Nehemiah, a man of noble character, persistence, and most importantly, Nehemiah was a man of prayer. We see over and over in the book that he prayed before he did. So what the Israelites did was they all joined together and they made this covenant, this oath. It says in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 29, Nehemiah joined their leaders and bound themselves with an oath. They swore a curse on themselves if they failed to obey the law of God as issued by his servant Moses. They solemnly promised to carefully follow all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord. And some of their promises looked like this: to not marry people who didn't worship God, the true and living God, to honor the Sabbath by not selling or buying grain on that day, and to honor God with all their finances, with their tithe. And every verse in that chapter goes on to say this: we promise to. They had the best intentions too. And they dedicated the wall of Jerusalem by worshiping God. They praised him. They gave thanks. Everything was looking awesome. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. Many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day, for God had given the people great cause for joy. The women and children also participated in the celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard from far away. They committed and they celebrated. And then chapter 13. Dun, 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 all right. So everything was looking really great for them. There's a new wall. God is awesome. They made promises. They set up systems. Nehemiah was leading them for the last 12 years. But then Nehemiah has to go back to his original job. Nehemiah was working for the king in Persia as the cupbearer. So it was time for Nehemiah's leadership to cease. But he set up amazing systems. And the Israelites, they watched as those 52 days, and they remembered Nehemiah's persistence during that time, his prayerful heart. And Nehemiah didn't complain about that task. Instead, he acted. He organized. He managed. He supervised. He encouraged. He met the opposition, and he confronted injustice. He kept going until that wall was rebuilt. That was the model that the Israelites had before them, because God positioned Nehemiah for this. And Nehemiah's intent started out to rebuild that wall for the Israelites, and that's just what he did. His actions matched his intention. And as he followed God's principles for his life, that's exactly what he did. His actions kept matching his intentions. And before he went back to Persia, to his old job, he set everything up that the Israelites needed to continuing worshiping God and honoring God. So the people, they were set up for success, right? It sounds like, okay, end the story right here. It's happily ever after, right? Happily ever after story. But that's not what it was. So Nehemiah chapter 13, they compromise again. And their intent, their promise, was to stay faithful to God. But in actuality, they allowed compromise back into their lives. Nehemiah chapter 13, 7 and 8. This is when Nehemiah comes back to check on them. And he says, when I arrived back in Jerusalem, I heard about Eliashib's evil deed in providing Tobiah with a room in the courtyards of the temple of God. I became very upset and threw all of Tobiah's belongings out of the room. And if you remember, Tobiah, a few chapters ago, he was an enemy. He taunted Nehemiah and was telling the Jewish people, you can't do this, just give up. And now here he is having a room in the temple? Well, Nehemiah was angry. Verse 10, he says, I also discovered that the Levites had not been given their prescribed portions of food. So they and the singers who were to conduct the worship services had all returned to their work fields. The Jewish people, they weren't honoring God with their temple tax. They were supposed to be giving their tithe to the church, to the temple. And the people could no longer be serving in the temple. They had to go back to the fields to work. And then in verse 13, Nehemiah says, in those days, I saw men of Judah treading out their wine presses on the Sabbath. They were also bringing in grain, loading in on donkeys, bringing in their wine, grapes, figs, all sorts of produce to Jerusalem to sell on the Sabbath. So I rebuked them for selling their produce on that day. They weren't honoring God with the Sabbath. And in verse 23, about the same time I realized that some of the men of Judah had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and they weren't honoring marriage the way they had intended to. And Nehemiah was mad. The Jewish people were breaking God's laws left and right. They were disregarding any covenant, any promise, any intention that they had just reaffirmed in their lives a few chapters ago. And I think because in the absence of Nehemiah, a Jewish people allowed their hearts to wander away from their intent. And their desire that once was to stay committed to God started to sway. And their actions didn't meet their intentions. And I think sometimes we want to say that we don't find ourselves in that place, but we do. We want to look at Nehemiah and be like, yes, like, I want to lead that way. I want to be noble that way and prayerful that way. But the truth is, when we search deep in our hearts, we are like the Israelites in this cycle. And here they are. They are intending to follow God and stay committed to him. But compromise enters again, right? We might intend to demonstrate grace to our child, but then we yell when they don't listen to us. Guilty. Sorry for breaking and shattering your view of me. But yes, maybe we intend to forgive our spouse, but give them the silent treatment and hold a grudge anyway. Or we intend to speak words of life about yourself, saying, I know I am a child of God. You know that. You intend to speak that truth into your heart, but then you constantly say negative things about yourself anyway. Or you intend to honor God in living out biblical principles, such as reading scriptures, worshiping with other believers, but then your schedule gets too busy and you got to do other things. I intend to give generously to my local church, but then I see something I really need, want to buy, and I don't. So often, we just allow the same thing the Israelites went through into our hearts. The exact same thing. We confess to God, we commit, we celebrate him and all his blessings that are good, and then we compromise. And the question is, why? Have we ever wondered that, right? Have you ever wondered that? Why do you compromise? Why don't our actions match our best intentions? We had the intent to. Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what, sorry, it's a total tongue twister. I'm going to start over. Paul writes it this way. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But I hate, but what I hate, I do. So what he's saying is, what he wants to do, he doesn't actually do. He does the opposite. And he has the best intentions, but he doesn't actually fulfill them. He cannot actually live the life he wants to live. That's what Paul was recognizing, apart from God's saving grace. He states this then in verse 24 in the same chapter. Paul says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Tim Keller tweeted it this way. Jesus Christ came to earth, lived the life we should have lived, and died the death we should have died. It is only through Jesus that our actions can actually start matching our intentions. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that your heart and its intent to follow God in our parenting, in our marriages, in our finances, in our relationships, in our Christian living, then our actions will start to match those intentions. But it's only by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is Christ who brings all covenants to true fulfillment. It is Christ who reconciled us to God the Father, and is when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life that you will start to see your actions match your best intentions. Every intention you set is met with an opportunity to act. So lately, during quarantine, I got really into yoga. And in yoga, I actually found this wonderful Christian yoga. She's a YouTuber, and it's been a really awesome time of just reflecting. There is a lot of slow movements and just a lot of time of thought. And granted, I have Nate and Cece, so a lot of interruptions as well, but that's okay. But in yoga, something you do during a yoga practice is you set your intent, your intention for that time. And simply what that means is you set your expectation of what you want to accomplish and helps you focus in that moment and say, this is what my intent is. This is what I want to get out of this moment, this time. And when you don't set an intention, like not setting an intention, it's kind of like getting on a bike with no direction, no clue where to go. But when you set the intention, you're actually picturing the end result of where you want to be. So I started to think that why on our faith journey do our actions so often drift from our intentions? And the answer is definitely kind of cliches a little bit, but it's true. And it's our sinful nature. That's not a spoiler alert to any of us here. Right? It's our sinful nature that constantly pulls us away from our intention to live a fully surrendered life to Christ. So in those moments of frustration or wondering why you're reacting and responding to a situation in a way that's different than you have planned, my encouragement to you is first surrender your intentions to God. Don't wait to the acting part before you even make that intention to parent a certain way or have relationships in ways or use your finances in a certain way. Surrender your intent to Him. Walk by the Spirit and not by your flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And then verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So when we willingly surrender our intentions to God first, and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, then our actions are going to follow. And for the Jewish people in chapter 13 of Nehemiah, it concludes with Nehemiah going around and fixing all the people's wrongs in those moments. And I just see that in my mind, just Nehemiah going around saying, no, like the Sabbath, and no, give the tithe. And why are you marrying them? They are evil. They don't worship our true God. And they had Nehemiah to go around and do that for them. But for us today, we already know we have Jesus, who has already forgiven all our shortcomings, who has already forgiven all the times that our actions don't meet our intentions. He conquered death, and he invites us to live with him forever. He died on the cross for us, who, like the Jewish people, can get so caught up in that cycle. But today, I want you to know there's freedom, and there's still time to spiritually rebuild your life. Jesus paid the penalty for sin. He broke the power of sin in your life. You are a new creation. And the presence of sin, yes, it still remains. But we are free to choose to follow the Spirit. And this entire series has really been a series of rebuilding. And yes, we watched as Nehemiah led the Israelites to rebuild a physical wall in 52 days. But more deeply than that, God is reaching out and calling us to rebuild our lives spiritually. Among ruin, despair, change, everything looks different now. Loss, confusion, these uncertain times of what's going to happen. But even more than that, we see that God is calling us to rebuild spiritually. Realign our hearts with his Spirit and walk in step with him. In Nehemiah's final plea in that last chapter, he kept saying over and over, remember me, remember me. He says it over and over because his heart breaks as he sees the people keep compromising time and time again. So the question this morning is, how often do you compromise your intentions when it comes to God? And probably, like me, it's more than you're willing to admit. But today, I want to remind you, you are met with such abounding grace. And I want us to pray together in this moment and invite the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts that we will set our attentions before him first and live surrendered and walking in step with the Spirit, that we will focus on the cross. So if you can just join with me wherever you are, in your homes, on your couches, drinking your cup of coffee, just join with me as we pray this prayer and surrender our hearts back to the Lord again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace that covers a multitude of sin, Lord. This morning, we are setting our heart's intentions on you. We are focusing on your truth and your word as you remind us that, yes, we are to live committed lives to you, but your Holy Spirit is there to lead us and guide us so we don't continue to fall into a trap of compromise, Lord. This morning, we are saying yes to you. We are proclaiming that you are good, that you are gracious, that your love abounds in our lives, Lord, and we want to be intentional about how we walk and live out our faith, that our actions will follow our intentions, and that your Holy Spirit goes before this and makes this possible in our lives, Lord. Thank you for rebuilding us spiritually. Thank you for meeting us in our sin. Thank you for dying on a cross that we should have died on. Thank you for living the perfect life that we can't live, Lord. But most of all, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that you meet us each and every time that we fall, Lord. Thank you that your grace covers us. Holy Spirit, I just ask in this moment, Lord, that every person that is leaning into this, that they will know that they are so loved. That yes, they make mistakes. Yes, their actions don't match their intentions. But that your grace is so much more, is freeing. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you today. Amen. And this morning, if this is your first time hearing this message, this declaration of saying God is gracious and loving, and he wants to just wrap you in his arms. He wants to be your father, and you're saying, yes, I need that. I want that. I need this Holy Spirit in my life to lead me so that what I intend to do, I actually do. I want to invite you to pray and to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior in this moment. He will not disappoint you. So just allow your hearts to take this prayer and just make it your own wherever you are. Heavenly Father, today I surrender my life to you. I surrender my thoughts to you. Say it right where you are in your homes. I surrender my intentions to you. I desire for you to be Lord of my life. I want you to completely be in control. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for taking my place and making me brand new. Today, Jesus, I walk in your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. Say that right where you are. He is meeting you this morning. And if that is you, and if you are saying that for the first time, we want to celebrate with you. So there's chat hosts right now, wherever you're watching, they're going to send a link, blazechurch.org/decision. I really want you to click that link, because we want to celebrate with you this week.
Awesome. Amen. It truly is our privilege to pastor and to just lead people to know God and to be a part of such a beautiful church and to have such a beautiful team and the dream team. And it's really why Blaze Church exists. It's because we're trailblazers. It's so that you might know God, so that you might have a relationship with him. And if you know him, we know that you know people who don't know him. And that's our passion. That's our desire, to continue leading people to know God. And this has been such an incredible season. This is our 16th Sunday of not having a gathering inside this space. And so grateful for radical generosity and for how we've been able to build an online campus that is so strong. And right now you're seeing all different camera angles, and we have a beautiful production team here that's making that happen, and chat hosts and different platforms. And all of that has been amazing. And today at 11:30, we're coming together for Live on the Lawn to join one another in that way. But we're so excited to share that starting next Sunday, July 12th, we are back in the building. We are back here in this space. And it's just going to be an incredible time for you to come out and for you to, and you know, so cool. There are people who have not been in this building yet. Like, you started coming to Blaze Church during this season and you've never even seen what this looks like. And I promise you, it's way smaller than it looks on camera. So you're probably gonna be like, what in the world? And so we are just grateful to meet you and to worship Jesus with you. And so today at 3:00, you're going to receive an email. If you're on our email database, you're going to get an email with all the details of what this looks like to be back in the building. And you're going to register for church next week. That's one of our new systems and steps. We are going to honor all the restrictions and guidelines and mandates to create a very healthy, safe experience where we can worship Jesus together. And this week, we have a professional company coming and sanitizing this space. And right now, I'm seeing rows of chairs that are roped off. And so we've got social distancing. I've got my Blaze mask in my pocket. And so we're going to have masks. And I know all of that may seem like, man, why can't we just get back? We're not getting back. We're moving forward to a new normal. And we're starting here so that we might get there, wherever there is. But I'm just grateful for next Sunday, July 12th, to be in this space, 9 a.m., 10:15, 11:30. And for you and your kids, because we have Blaze Kids programming starting up as well, and to come worship Jesus together in one location. And so be on the lookout for that tomorrow. You're going to see our social media is going to change. Our website's going to change. All the information you need will be there. And today you'll get an email. There's even a video you can watch that walks through all of the safety precautions and all the new systems of what church looks like. But we wanted to stand together and say thank you. Thank you, Blaze Church, for being the church during this season. We are filled with such gratitude, with such love, with such awe at Jesus and what he has done over this season. And we declared it from when we started that we weren't going to just go through this, we were going to grow through this. That we weren't going to just try to get through this and just push past. And no, we're going to grow through it. And we believe God has grown you. We've seen him grow this church. We've seen it evidenced in online attendance and in stories and in radical generosity and financial giving and groceries going out this door and live on the lawn and all of it. It is evidence that God is at work. And so join us next week. Come, don't be motivated by fear. Be motivated by care. Love your neighbor, love your God. That's our values. Love God, love others. We're going to pursue excellence. We've got four words that are leading this. It's going to be safe. It's going to be spacious. It's going to be sanitized and spectacular. It's going to be an amazing time for us to gather. So right now we want to sing one really last song, Distant, together. And then we're going to be together live on the lawn. And next week we'll be back here. But this song really declares how we need Jesus. Everything Pastor Amy just shared with us. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. As a team, take us to this space where we can worship God together and sing out his praises. Worship him from where you are, and we'll see you at Live on the Lawn.